You can listen to Issues Etc. live and on demand with the new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. You can get these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Give us a call, send us an email, or follow us on Facebook or Twitter. Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand. The new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. Download today at issuesetc.org. There's an app for that.
I see Assad, who has protected Christians for a number of decades, and then I see the Islamic rebels on the other side who have been attacking Christians.
I just know lots of people who consider the American State Department to be just as ignorant and just as prejudiced on issues of religion as some people in the elite media, and that's saying something.
The construction of Jesus was very similar to the construction of Robin Hood. He is a composite character made from a number of wandering priests a couple thousand years ago.
Well, he has not a clue as to what the evidences are in behalf of the historical Jesus.
Washington jet drivers love Issues Etc.
I think it's St. Paul who says, if only for this life we have hoped in Christ, we are of all men most to be pitied. And you can look at the New Testament and you can find in the New Testament much about this life, much about living this life. It's there. But the focus is consistently beyond this life. Doesn't St. Paul say, set your mind on things above where Christ is? Now, does the church still do that? The most popular pastor and one of the best-selling books in Christendom in the last decade was called Your Best Life Now. And, of course, that message resonates with a lot of people. It has, some people say, it has crossover potential to reach people, to reach the world. Or is it the world reaching us? That's my question. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. In the first half hour of this second hour of the program on this Friday, Shane Rosenthal of the White Horse Inn joins us to talk about secularism and our children. Bobby Ross Jr. will be with us in a little bit. We'll talk about media coverage and some religion stories. We'll talk a little bit of St. Louis Rams football with the former cornerback for the St. Louis Cardinal football team, Roger Worley. He's a Hall of Famer as well. And then we're going to play, not Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week yet. We still have part three of our series on Christianity and Science, Anticipating Ethical Issues with Pastor Charles St. Ange. And then in the last half hour of Issues Etc., it'll be Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We're going to play four soundbites for you. You listen, then you vote by giving us a call, 1-877-623-6943, sending us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or visiting our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. And you pick which one will be Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Shane Rosenthal is a regular guest. He's executive producer of the White Horse Inn radio show, assistant pastor of Christ Presbyterian Church in St. Charles, Missouri, and author of an article in the latest Modern Reformation magazine titled Losing Our Kids to Secularism. Shane, welcome back.
Hey, it's always a pleasure.
What's the message of secularism? And explain it to us, if you would. What is it and what does it mean?
So basically, secularism, the way I see it, is rooted in philosophical materialism. Basically, matter is all there is. This world is all there is. And therefore, live now, live for pleasure. You're in charge. You're the boss. Do whatever you want. Do what feels good.
So recently we talked with now famous atheist, kind of pop atheist, P.Z. Myers, author of that The Happy Atheist book. And again and again and again, he was saying, from an atheist perspective, this life is all there is. There is no afterlife. There is no God. There's nothing other than what you see around you, what you can observe around you. Is that the philosophical basis of secularism, whether it's acknowledged or not?
Absolutely. I mean, that's the interesting thing is it ends up being a dogma. It's a creed. We know what's behind the grave, that there is nothing. So there's an eschatology to it. There's a view towards the end. They don't have any proof that what's behind the grave is actually how they say it. It's a faith position. And that's where what I'd like to say is, especially as I outline in my article, my recent article, is that we're dealing here with a different religion. A lot of people will try to say that secularism is sort of a neutral default position of the world, and then the other people have dogmas and religions and creeds. And that's where I think we've bought something that isn't true. Secularism is just as much a dogma and a creed and a religious perspective, a philosophy of life, a worldview, than is classical Christianity. It's just an alternative one.
Now, I asked the question before because you raise the issue of whether or not which way the stream is flowing. We've witnessed the success of men like Joel Osteen and of books like Your Best Life Now. I mean, focusing so much on the now of the Christian life, and he's simply a big symptom of a disease that kind of affects pop American Christianity throughout. Which way is the stream flowing? Is he building a bridge out to the world to reach them for Jesus, so to speak, or has the world reached Joel?
That is a softball question. I am of the conviction that the reason that particular book and others like it, Purpose Driven Life is another example, books like those were successful, were amazingly successful, bestsellers for weeks, if not years, and they continue to be the primary sales of Christian books as well as the spirituality sections of Barnes & Noble. And the reason they're so successful is because they are touching that secular religious perspective that now is really what's important. And if you can sort of mask it in spiritual language so that people can think they're this is really what Christianity is. But basically, it's totally redefined. It's redefined secularism. And the emphasis is not, Christianity's emphasis is not on right now. Christianity's emphasis is on what God was doing when he reconciled the world to himself in Christ. And there's a particular historical emphasis there, what happened at the cross. And the Old Testament looked forward to that, and the New Testament looked backwards toward it. All Christian history since then continues to look back at that particular pivotal point. So we are not at the center of the universe. God is, and in particular, there was a particular point in history that the world, you know, was reshaped from, and that's at the cross.
Now, contrast that, if you would, with the secular view of history. Is it a flat view of history? There is no center. There is no focus of history in secularism?
You know, it's interesting. On our program, we just recently interviewed a thoughtful museum curator, and we were talking about art. And we were asking the question, what's the difference between art and entertainment? And this particular gentleman ended up saying that entertainment is basically only about now. And art has both a history but also an eschatology. It sort of has a life of its own that goes way beyond what's intended, because it speaks to something ultimately human and those characteristics of humanness. And I think there's something about that that is that secularism, ultimately, when you take the long view out of the picture, there is no there are no values, there is no truth that we need to bend the knee to. There's only me and my wants and my desires right now. I basically become an animal. And all I have are urges. And so everything gets reduced to the now and to my feelings, and everything therefore becomes mundane. That's the word, I think, in Latin, seculum, is basically the vulgar, the mundane, the ordinary. But there's no sacred. There's nothing transcendent. There's nothing further down in history that we're all heading towards. So therefore, history becomes flat.
When the church is thus secularized, because you make the point that really this is as much about the church being secularized as about, you know, individual Christians and the forces of secularism. When the church is thus secularized, then does it just become about getting your fix of whatever it is the church can feed you that Sunday morning?
Yeah, that's where one of the things that I do in my article is I sort of interact with the thoughts of a guy named Harry Blumeyers. He's who was a friend of C.S. Lewis, actually was a student of C.S. Lewis in the 40s and 50s, but then went on to write books like The Christian Mind. And in particular, I was thinking of his book, what is the name of the book? Something About Secularism. So he is interacting with those ideas that that the church of his age, of the 40s and 50s, basically is trying to be hip and with it, and it ends up chasing relevance. And so people who go to church, instead of hearing a transcendent message, end up hearing stuff about the world. And that is exactly what's going on today in megachurch after megachurch, conservative church. You know, they may have a praise band, but essentially it's the overall emphasis is we're comfortable here in this world, and we're about entertaining you and giving you pleasure here and now. And the message is about fitting you with this world, making you how can you have your best life now? How can you have better finances and a better marriage and better kids? How can you be fully functional here and now? What's God's plan for you here and now? And so the orbit is on you here and now. But then again, that's the same overall eschatology, if you will, of secularism. Now is what's most important.
With only about 30 seconds here, are you saying that it's not just the public schools or government schools where our kids are likely to be secularized? About 30 seconds, Shane.
Public schools certainly have the dominant message is secularism, but in American churches, American conservative or liberal churches, you're going to have a different take on how that secularism is presented. One, it'll be your best life now individualized, and others it'll be social justice and how can we have our best collective life. But it's still the same thing. We're concerned about us, what God is doing with us here and now, and that's not classical Christianity.
Shane Rosenthal is our guest, executive producer of the radio show The White Horse. And we're talking about secularism and our children on this Friday afternoon, September the 6th. Stay tuned.
Arch Fitness of Greater St. Louis has announced its fall schedule. Adult boot camps are weekday evenings and Saturday mornings, and sports performance training classes are Monday through Thursday nights. Arch Fitness has a new, bigger location at 127 West MacArthur Drive in Cottage Hills, Illinois. For more information, check out the Facebook fan page for Arch Fitness or call Kevin Rysick at 618-670-6952. Arch Fitness of Cottage Hills, Illinois.
Does your belief in God and His Word mean that you need to reject all of science? Is there a faithful way to integrate science and faith? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September is 5 Things You Can Do to Appreciate Science and Love the Bible. You can purchase this $5 book by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or you can find out more at issuesetc.org. 5 Things You Can Do to Appreciate Science and Love the Bible, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you have a student finishing up 8th grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The Virtual Organist Service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Friday afternoon, September the 6th. Shane Rosenthal is our guest, executive producer of the White Horse Inn radio program. He's authored an article in the latest Modern Reformation magazine titled Losing Our Kids to Secularism. Shane, you write this, and I want you to explain it a little further. You say, I submit that all these problems we've been discussing here are rooted in the fact that we don't actually believe Jesus' point about the special care and attention we are to give to the state of our souls. What do you mean by that?
Well, so he says, you shouldn't, you know, there's a place in the Gospels where Jesus says, what's more important? You know, should you fear, he who can kill the body or he who can destroy both body and soul in hell? You know, this isn't some kind of Puritan from the 1600s. This is Jesus, and he has very strong words about the afterlife. And you may agree with it, you may not, but that's what he said. And so if we're following the words of Christ, I think I perceive in those words that the life of the body it may be important, but there's something more important, and that's the state of our souls. And the point I bring in that article is just even to think about the way we live in contemporary society. I mean, I know my life as a father, just in daily life, we're concerned about our kids and the seat belts and bicycle helmets and what's going into their food and how much gluten-free this and is there too much corn syrup and that. There's a lot of emphasis on the body. But I don't think that American Christianity has an equal concern for the state of our kids' souls. Otherwise, we'd be concerned about the diet that kids are getting in American churches. That's this world only focused, and it's about what we can get out of the spiritual life, but it's not really about gospel and Christ and objective things and what God has done. All that's theology that's kind of put on the side. What we want is entertainment and the cotton candy spirituality.
This is not strictly within the bounds of your latest article for Modern Reformation, but I know that you have thought deeply about this. The emergent church, if it has a message, you know, these avant-garde churches that are allegedly reacting to mainline liberalism and to the church growth movement, the seeker-sensitive movement, have adopted a theology of sorts that is, in some cases, like in the case of Brian McLaren and others, is very this world focused, even to the point of saying, some of them, that this notion of Christianity being about individual salvation, aimed at an afterlife, a resurrection, is
right.
Misguided. What are your thoughts there?
Yep. Well, basically, the way I think of it is, especially those in the emergent world, is basically neoliberal. If you were to go back and read the liberals of the early 1900s, it would look a lot like much that's coming from the pens of men like Rob Bell and Brian McLaren. It's basically just warmed over liberalism. And the emphasis is this world, but socially construed. What are we doing together? Whereas someone like Joel Osteen will talk about you individually having your best life now. The Brian McLaren, Rob Bell sort of type thinker focuses on what we can collectively do to have our best world now. And that's basically the same message, but just the difference between suburban and urban concerns. And so the focus is on what we're doing for God in the world. How is God helping us? How are we participating with God to redeem the world? But again, the focus is still now, and the focus is on what God is doing with us. Again, the individualistic, contemporary Christian in a megachurch living in suburbia is going to think, how can I have that now? God is my co-pilot, et cetera. But the more liberal / emergent is going to think, collectively, how can we bring God here now to reform the environment and to have a better political governments, et cetera. So that's basically the same ultimate message. It's about now, and Christianity is about Christ. And Christ came and lived among us and died. His life and his death are the warp and woof of the Bible. That's what the prophets were looking forward to, and that's what the New Testament looks back as a completed thing, and that's what we put our trust in.
Someone listening to us is doubtless saying, you know, Shane, I get you when it comes to the secularization of the church in those liberal churches. They have approved of everything morally and immorally that the culture, that the secular world has approved of. There's no shortage of that. But they say, look, the big box church on the corner, they still believe homosexuality is wrong. They still believe in natural marriage. They haven't gone all loopy and liberal in their politics. And you're telling me that they might be as secularized as the big Episcopalian church in the heart of New York City?
Well, that's part of, I think, the fruits of secularism in the very way you're defining the issue, because what we're dealing with are the fruits of a tree that's rotten at the core. So the various fruits may be different in one aspect. Liberals have they're open to gay marriage and things like that. That's one particular aspect of a tree that has its roots that's receiving the nutrients from a particular kind of soil. But the same thing is occurring in conservative churches, where the emphasis they may be okay with that particular, they may have problems with that particular way of conceiving of marriage. However, they are blind to other just as problematic issues. Let me think of an example. You have that emphasis on the life of the person as, the whole God is my co-pilot, the whole what God is doing in my life, where I essentially become the center. There's a great example by a song, a contemporary Christian song by Jason Gray, and it's the focus of this particular pop song that many churches are even singing is that I don't want something to believe in. I want the feeling of falling in love. I mean, there's a very, very good example. The belief, something to believe in, is not as good as the feeling of falling in love. So in other words, my relationship with God needs to be that kind of a feeling, like new romance. And that is just as secular as a view of same-sex marriage, but it's just a different aspect of that secularism popping up.
So really, we have a secularism that is overtly hostile to Christianity and one that is covertly hostile to Christianity?
They are both covertly hostile to Christianity because Christianity is a done thing and it's finished, it's completed. Jesus says it's finished, and that can only be communicated to us through words, since it's a done thing. If it's good news about victory at sea, I can't reperform that. I can't let you experience it through notes on a keyboard. I have to tell you about that, and then you'll rejoice. And that's the way it is with a Christian message. It's got a historical aspect to it. That's why it's called good news. That needs to be communicated. That's the centerpiece of our faith. That is being undermined from both the right and the left. On the right, it's being undermined because God is mostly focused on or conceived as being obsessed with our life now and making our life now better somehow. And in the liberal world, it's the social world better now. But either way, it's the same issue. We're assailed by two sects.
With only about a minute here, Shane, you say that to add insult to injury in this whole situation, the world, whether we find it in the church or outside the church, is doing a better job of getting its message across, especially with respect to the next generation. Talk about that with about a minute and a half before we close up.
Well, so, the basic framework that I set up in the beginning of the article is that, if there were 60 out of 100 kids who were killed from your bus trip to the zoo, you had 100 kids go and 60 of them were killed by a stampede, that would be something to, that would alert not just the local media but national news media. And the problem is that is actually happening in our churches, because 60% of those who grow up in our churches don't actually continue in the faith. They abandon our churches, and nobody is sounding the alarm. And again, this goes to the point where we think the body is more important than the soul. We would be alert to the fact if it was an actual bodily trampling, but our kids aren't staying churched, and a lot of us aren't really sounding the alarm to our pastors. We're not trying to solve this. We're not even concerned. It's not on our radar most of the time. And if that is a concern, then I submit that that doctrine is important to you, that these hugely important worldview issues are important, and we need to get to the bottom of it. We need to figure out why. Why are secularists doing a better job? Well, they're in charge of our colleges and our schools. They're in places of media. They are evangelists, and they're getting their message out that this world matters, this world is all there is. It's in the pop songs. So where are we? Where are we? How are we getting our message out? Well, that's what we have to think about. We have to ask ourselves, are we getting that message out? Are we training our kids? Are we preparing them? Are we inoculating them against this virus?
Shane, before we let you go, you and I are going to be speaking in October here in St. Louis. What can you tell our listeners about these two weekend events?
I've got something we were working on called the Friday Night Forum at Christ Presbyterian Church in St. Charles, and you've been gracious enough to come out on October 18th to talk about Lutheranism. You'll be presenting the Orthodox position on Lutheranism, and I'll be presenting the heresy of Calvinism. And that will be on Friday night, October 18th, and then the next week, October 25th, we'll be talking about the views of creation, so sort of discussing, is it a literal seven-day creation or not? And that's so thanks for signing up with us there. And then so that's the Friday Night Forum. And for more information about that, your listeners can go to Friday Night Forum, FridayNightForum.com.
Folks, you can find out more about the Friday Night Forum and find a link to the White Horse Inn and to Modern Reformation Magazine at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Shane Rosenthal is executive producer of the White Horse Inn radio show and assistant pastor of Christ Presbyterian Church in St. Charles, Missouri. A recent article by him in Modern Reformation Magazine titled Losing Our Kids to Secularism. Thanks, Shane.
Hey, good to be with you.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Bobby Ross Jr. of GetReligion.org talking about media coverage of a couple religion stories. First, the 20th anniversary of the president of Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, Dr. Albert Moeller, who's a frequent guest on this program, and how the AP covered that, and a story about a very elderly Roman Catholic nun and women priests on the front page, of all things, of the Chicago Tribune. We'll be right back.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7? Check out our website, issuesetc.org, and go to the Listen On Demand page. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues Etc. On Demand audio, available for your convenience at issuesetc.org. 10 hours of new programming each week. issuesetc.org, and click Listen On Demand.
Holy Cross Evangelical Lutheran Church, Albany, Oregon, is a mid-Willamette Valley LCMS congregation where the liturgy lives and God's people worship as one, with sound biblical doctrine, weekly communion, and a clear confession of Christ crucified for the sin of the world. Please join us at 2515 Queen Avenue Southeast, or visit our website at www.holycrosslutheranalbany.org.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly, or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly, or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly, or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly, or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club.